Our guest, now part of Joey Max Stuck Insider. He's also the sports director at the fabulous KWVA. You can follow him on Twitter. The handle is at SeanMack_19. Welcome in, Sean McPherson. Sean, great getting a chance to talk with you. How's life as a senior at Oregon?
Oh, it's great. My time here is winding down. I have about 2 or 3 weeks here left as a student here in Eugene, and then I'm off to the real world. So excited about that. But it's been a great term and a great fall for Oregon athletics. I'm excited to break it down with you, Steve.
So a little personal background, like where do you hail from? Maybe a little peek inside Sean Mack, the sports fan. You know, when you were growing up, like who were your favorite teams, college, pro, athletes? A little peek behind the McPherson curtain.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I grew up in Portland, so I'm a big Blazers guy. And, of course, we don't have an NFL team in Portland, so my dad was actually raised in Miami, so I'm a Dolphins fan, unfortunately. So Blazers and Dolphins fan, unfortunately. And then also grew up a big Ducks guy. You know, Oregon was the only school I applied for, so, you know, it was always a dream to come to this school, let alone do all the stuff that I'm doing now. Grew up wanting to be a broadcaster. So kind of living the dream here at Oregon, and it's been a lot of fun. But, yeah, it's not a lot of fun to root for the Blazers and Dolphins these days, I will say that.
Well, it was fun last night for the Blazers.
That was a good win.
We'll give them that one. You know, I saw that you had a chance to do some freelance writing covering the Olympic trials. Obviously, just a fabulous venue, the new Hayward Field. And I know it was a lot, but when you think about events or performances that'll always stick with you as a cool memory, when you think to June of 2021, what pops to your mind, Sean?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, it wasn't only Olympic trials, but it was the NCAA championships, and then it was the Prefontaine Classic as well. So shout out to Lori Shantz and the class that she puts together in the SOJC. So I got to do that. And, you know, so we moderated interviews for the Olympic track and field trials. So I got to talk to the likes of Allison Felix, Sydney McLaughlin, Galen Rupp. I mean, all these legends within the track and field community. I think my favorite story from that time is there was this kid, Isaiah Jewett. And when I say kid, I mean he's literally a college student. And this guy from USC, he gets second in the 800. He runs just the gutsiest race. He was leading the whole way until he got past the finish line. But he still clinched the berth at the Olympics. And so I'm interviewing him afterwards, and he's just the silliest kid. He's really big into anime, and you would just never know that he's an Olympic athlete. And so anyways, I think I asked him something along the lines of like, oh, how do you feel physically after all these races you've been running? And he says, like, I feel physically fine, but mentally I'm kind of drained. I have an essay due tonight. He's like, I have a 10-page essay that I haven't started tonight. And I'm like, you proceed to tell me that you just made the Olympics and you have an essay due in a couple hours. He's like, yeah, I'm going to rush home. So anyways, it was my voice talking to him, and that clip of him saying he had an essay due kind of went viral. So Isaiah Jewett, that guy's awesome, and that was kind of a funny memory from those times.
That's awesome. Talking with Sean McPherson, Duck Insider, KWVA Sports Director. Obviously, you're also wired into Coach Ulmer's volleyball program.
Yes.
Just Sean, in general, I try to explain to people who've never been out there, being at a home match, beyond the incredible level of skill and talent, just explain to him how fun and entertaining duck volleyball is.
Oh, Oregon volleyball is great. I mean, Coach Elmer's built a great program. If you've never seen Brooke Nunaviller play volleyball, then you got to go see a game, because her time here is almost done. I believe she's got one more year of eligibility, so she might be back next year, but she's one of the best players in all of college volleyball, and it feels like she's been there forever. I believe it's her fourth year with the team. Yeah, fourth year with the team now. So she's awesome, and the team this year is really good. I mean, 20-6, they're really close. They're right on the fence of maybe hosting the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. They're coming off a sweep victory over number 12 UCLA, and they're right at the top of the Pac-12, which, in my opinion, is probably the most stacked conference in college volleyball. So they have a really good team. They've won 5 straight matches. They were struggling in October, but November has been much nicer to them, and yeah, if you haven't been to an Oregon volleyball match, it's the place to be on Friday evenings, Sunday mornings. It's It's a great venue and a great team.
You know, I'm happy you brought that up because if you go back to, I think it was the first day in October, they beat Colorado. They were ranked 11, 12, and 1. Then kind of the roller coaster started. I know there were some injuries, but then you mentioned they swept the Bay Area schools back to back, and they just swept UCLA. So now back up to 14, logical to say that they're peaking and playing as well now as they have maybe all season.
Yeah, what a roller coaster of a season it's been. I mean, there was a point in October that they had lost 11 straight sets. But now you look at their last five matches. They swept the team in Stanford, number 19 team in the country. They just swept UCLA at home, number 12 team in the country. So this is a team, Steve, that going into this year, I thought was going to be a Final Four team. And they're starting to play like that, too. And I think I said that because they returned everyone from an awesome team that only lost a handful of matches last year, and everyone got better. And Matt Ulmer's a great coach. He's building this thing up. And I just think they had a chance to make the Final Four. There's been times where they've barely looked like a tournament team, and there's been times like right now, for example, they do look like a Final Four team.
The like I said, you got to get out and check out this team. We're covering a bunch with Sean McPherson, KWVA, Duck Insider. As far as hoops, last night was just a dud up in Portland. They couldn't throw it in the ocean. But, you know, it's college basketball. UCLA and Michigan had blowout losses last year, went to the Final Four, Elite Eight. So, yeah, Sean, it's a terrible performance. But any reason to read too much into it and think, once again, this staff and team won't bounce back and be a legit player in this conference and maybe more?
Gosh, I was at that game, Steve. That was a dud. That was that was really tough to watch in the second half there, especially. The Ducks couldn't, I think you put it well, they couldn't throw the ball into the ocean if they wanted to. But I have a couple of things here. I think that, for one, going into this game after what they did against Texas Southern and SMU, I was dubbing them the best Oregon team since Dylan Brooks. I'm not sure I think that anymore. So that's something about this loss against BYU. However, you mentioned it. It's very early. We're talking November right now when they're trying to peak in March. And we know that Dane Altman every single year gets his guys to peak in March. And I wouldn't be surprised here if they go to the Maui Invitational, which weirdly enough is going to be in Vegas, and they play really well. They're going to have Chaminade. Poor Chaminade's going to get, you know, the revenge game, you know, the bounce back game for the Ducks. And then they're going to play maybe Houston in the second round. So that's going to be really intriguing. I don't think this team is as good right now as I originally thought before the BYU game, but I don't think there's reason to freak out either.
No, I'm with you there. As for Kelly Graves and the women, no problems. And I get Idaho State and Dixie State are not Stanford and UConn, but they punished them. And what I loved was entering the fourth quarter in both games. I mean, it was over, but they held one opponent to 5 points, another to 4. So just how impressive is that kind of unyielding effort to just never give an inch regardless of what the scoreboard says?
Yeah, I mean, granted, it's against Dixie State and Idaho State, but Oregon's been holding teams to 24.8% shooting percentage this year. They've been really good defensively, and I mean, that starts with coaching. We know how good of a coach Kelly Graves is, and I think it's impressive because they're without some of their best players right now. I mean, Oregon, they had 4 preseason all-conference selections. 2 of those players were Nyara Sobley and India Rogers, and those 2 players have been out, at least for the last game. India Rogers might be out for a bit. Nyara Sobley doesn't seem to be as serious. And then Tahina Paopao is another one of those players, and she's been hobbled up as well. So I think if you're an Oregon fan, the Ducks have done everything that you've wanted them to do. They've been drubbing these lower-tier opponents. They're going to have more of a test this week against South Carolina in the second round. But I think it's, you know, you look at players like Kylie Watson, Sydney Parrish, Maddie Shear, who have really stepped up over these first couple of games and really shown you something they didn't show all year last year. And then just knowing that you're kind of all your preseason, all conference selections have been a little bit banged up and they're going to get going eventually.
Yeah, those 5 stars who are now sophomores, you could just see them coming on. Couple final thoughts for Sean McPherson, Duck Insider, Sports Director, KWVA, Ducks versus Washington State. I know this might be football 101, Sean, but after rolling up 300 on the ground at Seattle, knowing what the Cougs would bring to the table, their ability to, in essence, do it again when Wazoo knew what they wanted to do, just the how huge was the play of the offensive line, plus the three guys running it, A.B., Cardwell, and Dye?
Yeah, they looked really impressive against Washington State. I think, I don't know if I'm alone here, but going into that one, I was a little bit worried if you're a Duck fan that's rooting for this team to win. I mean, Washington State's been a team that had 4 out of 6 wins against Oregon. It's a team that has traditionally had success recently against Oregon. And, you know, when Washington State breaks that play on the second play of the game, it was a 70-yard pass, you're thinking to yourself, uh-oh. But Mario Cristobal has been so good at making adjustments at halftime, getting his guys ready for the second half. And they come out, and that final score was 38-24, but that is with a touchdown that didn't count as a touchdown. Instead, it was a fumble return to half to midfield. And then it was also with a garbage time touchdown. So that score could have been 48-17 if things went as well as possible for Oregon. And that's against a really good Washington State team who's been competing really well all season. So if I'm an Oregon fan, this game's going to be really hard against Utah. But I'm also feeling really good about how this team's playing on both sides of the ball, especially the rushing attack and rushing defense. It's been absolutely dominant the past couple of games.
Yeah, I actually felt the Wazoo game had an uh-oh factor to it, but they came across with the goods. You mentioned Utah. I want to close with this. I hear some on ESPN or CBS, they're talking about, you know, you get nuts with analytics. Oregon's got a 38.2% chance to win. And it's like, look, I got news for everybody. This is a toss-up game. Ducks have flaws. Utah has flaws. So in preparing to cover this, Sean, kind of what stood out to you as some of the major challenges Utah presents?
Okay, so if I'm an Oregon fan, a couple of things that concern me or scare me a little bit about Utah. For one, Cameron Rising, since taking over as the quarterback, the team's been much better, obviously. They had a couple losses without him, and since he's taken over, they've been pretty much flawless. They did lose to Oregon State, but he has taken care of the ball, no turnovers in the past month. And the defense, they lead the conference in sacks and tackles for loss. So I think one of my keys to this game is going to be Oregon's offensive line bringing it and taking care of Anthony Brown and, you know, running the ball well, winning at the line of scrimmage. It's going to be a really tough game. I mean, Utah's won 17 of 18 at home. They've won 6 out of 7 games. But at the same time, Steve, feel free to disagree with me. I don't understand how Oregon is not favored in this game for what they've been doing the past couple of weeks to Pac-12 teams. For the fact that it's Oregon, a powerhouse program right on the verge of a college football playoff, I don't understand how you're an underdog against Utah. But we'll see. I do think it's kind of a toss-up game. I would just favor Oregon if I was Las Vegas.
Well, the thing is, Vegas, for some reason, they always have a little something that none of us can figure out. So we'll see how this plays out. Folks, he's Sean McPherson. He's the sports director at KWVA. You're hearing him in there with Joey Mack on Duck Insider, soon to be an Oregon grad. Hey, Sean, great catching up with you. Really appreciate your time. A lot of great insight and info. And look forward to talking again not too soon, not too far down the road.
Yes, Steve, happy to come on anytime. Thanks for having me on. It was great to make a debut on your show, and have a good rest of your show today.
All right, way to crush it, man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.